The exhortation I want to give this morning is based on the new year. Okay? And at present, we are, all of us, in the greatest holiday time of the year for festivity and merrymaking. And many people out in the world would have stopped to rejoice at the birth of Christ. We also rejoice that he was born into this world. But with all the commercial activity and revelry of the season, it is easy to overlook the true meaning of this great event in history. If we remember Christ at only holiday times such as Easter and Christmas, it's easy to get a distorted picture of his life and mission and not see the complete truth of what it was about. And it is for this reason that we come together every week to worship God, to hear the necessary word of exhortation, and to remember Christ, and to keep all of these things in the forefront of our minds. 2019 has just been welcomed in. 2018 has gone into history. And you know, that history, the time period that was given to us to work out our salvation and to prepare ourselves for the return of the Master. And with the passing of each year, we are 1 year closer to the consummation of God's plan with this earth. And to give us the work, you know, for mankind on it. 1 year closer to the end of our probation. We are on a probationary period. That time given to us to work out our salvation and to prepare for Christ's return. That time when the knowledge and the glory of God will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. When all flesh will worship and glorify God, and he will dwell with men and be all and in all. At the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we get a preview of the great climax of the ages, when sin and death will be abolished from the earth, when God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. We learn that there will be no more sin. And because there is no more sin, there will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things will have passed away. We are also 1 year closer to the time when there will be a major transformation in this world. My brothers and sisters, are we ready? The present order will pass away. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The past year has brought further fulfillment of prophecies long expected by brethren and sisters down the ages. A decline in moral standards when violence and perversion prevailed the earth, just as it was in the day of Sodom and Noah. It is a time of the year when we both ecclesially and individually reflect upon the past year, taking inventory of it in stock, and to think of the year that has just gone by. It is a time when thoughtful brethren and sisters throughout the world think about the new year and wonder what it might bring forth. The important thing is to prepare for whatever might come. We have assurance that if we are steadfastly living the truth, ready and watching for the return of Christ, we will be ready for whatever might come. It is also a time of year when the businesses and politicians, political leaders, review events of the past year and make their predictions of the year to come. Many times their predictions are either disagree with each other or they completely contradict each other. They hope for a better year to come and to better their lives upon the earth. But how often do the predictions and plans go wrong? How difficult it is for mortal man to predict or to control his future. Jeremiah explains, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, and it is not in man that it walketh to direct his steps. It is for this very reason that we know that at the appointed time, God will intervene directly in the affairs of men and set things right. And because of this, of the uncertainty of life, we're instructed not to boast about making plans for ourselves for the coming year without considering the will of God. It brings to mind Christ's parable of the rich fool who pulled down his barns to build greater ones and to put away goods for many years, to live a life of ease, eating and drinking and being merry. But that night his soul was required of him. That night he met an unexpected death. It shows the folly of planning our future without taking into account the demands of God and his requirement for our lives. The Apostle James brings out the same thought about making plans for the coming year according to the will of God. He says, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your brag. All of these boasting is evil." And Solomon says as well, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what day might bring forth." What a day might bring forth. It shows that we cannot be sure what another day might bring forth, let alone another year. This is also a time when many make New Year's resolutions and try to improve their lives and cure bad habits. But how easy is it for mortal man to fail and to fall back in the old ways and sin again? To be born again, or to be born anew, is the will of God. And as the Apostle Paul says, if any man be of Christ, he is a new creature. Old ways have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And because of the weakness and corruptness of human nature, so many try to change their lives for the better and then fall back again. To bring about a permanent change in our lives, we need to genuine conversion and a rebirth in Christ. And as we look back and reflect on the past, we realize that the past is gone forever. It cannot be changed. We may have made many mistakes and had many failures and committed great sins and wished if we had that time to do it over again, many things would be different. But the past cannot be changed. We do not need to burden ourselves unduly concerning ourselves with the past, as the Apostle Paul says. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if anyone had reason to be concerned about what they did in the past, it was Paul. He was an enemy and a persecutor of Christ and his ecclesia, consenting to the death of many of the saints. But he was able to make a new start in a dramatic and drastic way, as he was blinded by the light on the road to Damascus. We are reminded of the wonderful attributes of our Heavenly Father. His love and mercy towards them that love and obey him. As the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And we remember that during Israel's long history, the number of times they departed from the living God and fell into sin and idolatry. And how many times through his life and mercy, he invited them to return and give them a new start. And in the New Testament times, we notice many times that those who came first into the ecclesia lived irregular lives in the past. The Apostle Paul said that many of them had walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, reveling, abominable adulteries. But now was a time for change, to live out the rest of their lives according to the will of God. And so it is a hope, an encouragement to us, that regardless of how bad our past was, we can make a new start. And as we start this new year, we are reminded that the long suffering of God still waits, as in the days of Noah, not willing that any should perish, that we are all granted time to work out our salvation and prepare for the Master's return. The preparation of the people of God is a lifetime's work, not something that can be accomplished overnight. A lifetime of study, application, and conforming our will to the commandments of Christ. We are also so thankful to our Heavenly Father for being able to have an ecclesia or a light stand in this area, as well as all the other ecclesias in this country or even in the world. It is something that we cannot take for granted, for we all have a responsibility to keep the light burning in the year ahead. There is a job for all the brethren and sisters to do, to keep our lamps burning and to replenish it with oil while we wait for the Master's return. This is not a time for half-hearted service in the Lord's work, but a time for unity in work and in prayer throughout the brotherhood. A time for wholehearted cooperation and purposeful community life. A time for diligent attention to our spiritual exercises. In the beginning of this new year, it is also a time for self-examination, both individually and ecclesially. This is especially so in the partaking of the bread and wine, as it stands before us at the moment. For it says in Scripture, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that wine." It doesn't say that we look for faults in others, but to look to ourselves to see that we are living the truth. For it is upon the individual that life depends. It does not depend alone upon the brethren and sisters who might seem to be the most prominent in the ecclesia, however responsible the service that they might render. Every member is important to the welfare of the ecclesia. Every brother and sister contributes to the spiritual health of the ecclesia. We are all called to the high and holy calling to prepare ourselves for the Master's use, to live and reign with him, and to share in that great work in the age to come, to show forth the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, we are reminded of the brevity and the uncertainty of life. That is like a vapor that appears for a short time and then passes away. The psalmist David says, "So teach us to number our days, that we might apply our heart's wisdom." We are constantly reminded throughout Scripture during our lives that our days are numbered and that the time provided us is short and may be terminated by death or our Master's return. And as we enter this new year, God requires a reasonable service from us, as Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So in view of the greatness of God and his exalted position and those great and glorious promises, he deserves and requires a reasonable service from us in return. The Apostle Paul wrote, "God will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life." We all hope for this great, the greatest of God's gifts. Our lives are a probationary period, and whether it is long or short determines if we are worthy to share in that great future in which All that have breath will glorify God and live in the kingdom when the knowledge and glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. And as we see the time of Christ coming draw near, let us draw nigh with a pure heart, in full assurance of faith without wavering, to watch, to pray, to be steadfast, and to prepare ourselves for that great future that lies ahead for the people of God. During his absence, we are instructed to occupy till he comes, to be engaged in the master's service, and to use our talents and our resources during the Lord's will. In the little time that remains, let us do what we can to the honour and the glory of God. The outlook in the world may be troubled, the future depressing and apprehensive, but we have this joy that we can see the glorious future of God's plan. The exhortation that is given by the apostle applies to us now as never before. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For thanks be to God, which gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, as we travel through this new year together, let us give heed to these things so that we might be part of that great multitude of the redeemed that will inherit the earth in the future and glorify our great God forever and ever.